sempre un po' calare del mano bene.
Hi there, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And as the listeners to Trends This Week, you're ahead of the news and on top of the trends. And here's an example of that. As you well know, some 2 weeks ago, we issued a trend alert, and we spoke about it on Trends This Week. And our forecast for the White House, a Clinton and Sanders White House. And that's how we see it shaping up. And it was very evident by yesterday's primary in New York. It's very, very difficult for Sanders to catch up. And it looks like Trump. So you know my campaign slogan, Campaign 2016. Trump or Clinton? Hitler or Hillary? That's right. The blood on Hillary Clinton's hands. Woof. Gaddafi has to go, on and on. And regime change is her favorite goal, whether it's in Syria. Here's what she said at the last debate. Nobody stood up to Assad and removed him. And we have a far greater disaster in Syria than we are currently dealing with right now in Libya. And they let it get away with this. A worse problem than Libya? You destroyed the country. How could people let her get away with it? And I'm disgusted with these liberals and these phony Republicans who support their murderers as better than the other person's murderer. Can you imagine saying that? Quote, we have a far greater disaster in Syria than we are currently dealing with right now in Libya. Okay, Hitlery, who caused the problems in Syria? Couldn't be the United States and its Arab League of Murderers, could it? That overthrew a country that was doing very well, where people used to go to visit historic sites, a very stable nation, where the different religions weren't fighting with each other. Who are we to say how it should be run? Oh, it's like Obama going to Cuba and talking about freedom and democracy. How many people just got arrested in D.C., including Ben and Jerry, for speaking out against democracy, against what's happened to democracy, rather? Oh, yeah, we have free speech zones. You know, Orwell must have made that one up. And even those are restricted, as the Supreme Court ruling a couple of years ago proved. So you know what the forecast is. Here we are in April, and we forecast a Clinton-Sanders White House. You look at the poll numbers. You look at the exit numbers at the polls. And here's the deal. Clinton has a very low popularity rating. The facts are there. 56% negative score. Gee, I wonder why. What a surprise. And then you look at Bernie. Who's Bernie bringing in? Bernie's bringing in the desperate millennials. The numbers are there at the polling place. You can see who voted the most in his court. It's the 18 to 29-year-olds with no future, lousy jobs, up to their ears in debt, and Bernie babbling, I'm going to give you free education. I'm going to give you free health care. A chicken in every pot. Cadillac in every garage.
And we're going to get the money from Wall Street. And I voted against the Iraq war.
Yeah, but Bernie, you voted for the Afghan war. You co-sponsored the resolution for Gaddafi to stand down in a no-fly zone that became the UN resolution. You supported Bill Clinton's murderous war when he was in office, the bombing of Iraq, the sanctions that killed over 500,000 Iraqi children, according to the United Nations. You're supporting what's going on in Syria.
But I'm going to give you everything for free, I promise.
So, as we said, what Bernie's doing is he's bringing in the millennials and the people that really do want some honest government and not give it all to the bigs. So they believe in that message like they believed in Obama's hope and change you could believe in, folks. Yeah, as he folked us. Now, lies. He's a traitor from day one in office. I'm going to close Guantanamo before the end of the year. I guess a year to him means eight. To the troop surge in Afghanistan. To close bringing home all the troops in Afghanistan. To no boots on the ground in Iraq. One lie after another with a smile and a sneer and an arrogant attitude. And the people are buying the same Bernie BS coming from a different mouth and a different clown. Change you could believe in and Bernie's to a future you could believe in. Yet if you believe in that, Bernie from Brooklyn, I got a Brooklyn Bridge for sale. Yeah, why not? We've been peddling it forever. And we got other suckers that are going to buy it. So step right up, folks. Another round of the presidential reality show. Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hitlery, God bless America. And Trump. He has a 65% negative rating. There's nobody there. It's a freak show. Liars, cowards, freaks, and fools. The presidential reality show brought to you by the major networks that control America's media and America's minds. It's not democracy. People should be out in the, oh, don't go out in the streets. I take that back. Because they might pepper spray you, beat you, and throw you in jail. What a disgrace. Elections. It's not an election. You know our solution? Direct democracy. Let the people vote. Like they do over there. People say, where are your solutions? We give plenty of them. Anybody that subscribes to the Trends Journal, listens to our weekly Trends in the News broadcasts, gets our Trends alerts, and our Trends monthlies, know that we have plenty of solutions. And one of the solutions is direct democracy. Yes, let the people vote, as they do in a place called Switzerland, the richest joint on the planet. Anytime that there's a major issue, they have a referendum on it. Yeah, but there's only like about 11 million people living there. We got over 300 million. So what? You vote on an issue, whether it's a community or a country. If we could bank online, we could vote online. Look at the voter fraud with these BS machines when you go out to vote. What a clown show. What a bunch of freaks out there. Go in and they intimidate you. All these little clowns with bad attitudes that love to be a party member of which you're not a member of. Voting machines. What a bunch of crap. If you could bank online, you could vote online. And we'd have all the metrics open. Open for everyone to view. So that as soon as you see something going awry, with all the computer experts out there, they'd be able to tell if there was any cheating going on in an instant. So, direct democracy. Here the United States is now encircling Russia. Now, you saw all the stories this week, last week. Yeah, Russian jets came close to a destroyer in the Baltic Sea. Yeah. What's an American destroyer doing, what, about 40 miles off the coast of a major Russian port, military port, a naval port? What are we doing over there? What if Russia was 40 miles off Cape Cod? You don't think they'd be sending jets out there? Well, 40 miles off San Francisco. Boy, would those little geeks freak out, huh? Yeah, what Silicon Valley con men do? Oh, they'd love it seeing the Russian fleet or a Chinese fleet off there. Oh, no, in the United States, we just say, folks, it's okay. The propaganda is disgusting in this country. The lack of courage among people to stand up and speak out, except for the people on shows like Progressive Radio Network and a few others that buy into the BS. Oh, yeah. And the jets came next to, you know, what, bombers and reconnaissance planes? Russian jets, yeah. What are Americans doing over there? Hey, folks, how's your water in Flint, folks? Hey, you folks up there in Hoosick Falls, you like drinking that poison slime? Oh, no, we fixed it. Yeah. For the people that make Teflon up there to dump the crap into it. Oh, yeah, just eliminate itself. Look at the Hudson River over here. Still got PCBs. We got wars to fight all over the world. Not a peep about peace from the prostitutes or the presidential candidates. Particularly Hillary Clinton. Yep. Yeah, she's all for it, and so is Bernie, supporting them moderate rebels. We all know what them moderate rebels in Syria look like. They can't show us any. Never talk to them. Moderate. Excuse me. These are the same slaughterers that they had in place to overthrow Gaddafi. Now they've moved over there. Yeah, and she talks about Russian aggression, and so does the media. Russian aggression. Yeah, they invaded, read the news, they invaded Crimea. It was a military takeover. That's what they say in the news. No, they didn't. It was a vote. And they've been there since before America's been a country, the Russians, in Crimea. It was part of Russia. Until Khrushchev, who was Ukrainian, gave it back. And then he had a deal with the Ukraine government to be in Crimea. So they didn't invade a military force. They were there. They have a naval base there. It's their major base to get into the Mediterranean, get in from Russia to the Mediterranean. But yet the media, the prostitutes, the low lives who get bought out for cash to sell lies in the New York Times. You remember those uranium tubes that Saddam Hussein had and that yellow cake he was baking that was going to bring those weapons of mass destruction to it. And the next mushroom cloud you see, yeah, be the one over there in the, coming up over Sea Caucus, Condoleezza Rice. Yep. It's hypocrisy. The selling propaganda. Russia did not invade Ukraine. But Hillary Clinton's language, and her rhetoric, that bellicose rhetoric, the building up to World Cold War II that we wrote about in the Trends Journal 3 years ago. We named it that. Yep. It wasn't that the United States backed the coup in Ukraine. It's there for everyone to see. Just go to YouTube. Victoria Nuland, Washington Press Club, December 13th, 2013. And there she is, saying how the path to Ukraine is the one set forth by the IMF. And Ukrainians are Europeans. Can you imagine? A lot of them don't think that. And who are we to say who's what? We can't take care of our own, but the neocons can, and she's one of them. The wife of Robert Kagan, chief neocon strategist. And by the way, now coming out as a supporter of Hillary Clinton. Here's one of Clinton's quotes, the last debate. With Russia being more aggressive, making all kinds of intimidating moves toward the Baltic countries. We've seen what they've done in eastern Ukraine. We know they want to rewrite the map of Europe. Heil Hitlery! It is not in our interest to reduce U.S. support for NATO. Think of how much it would cost if Russia's aggression when not deterred because NATO was there on the front lines, making it clear they could not move forward. Can you imagine? Hey, Hitlery, see if you can add this up. The United States has started a war in Vietnam that killed over 3 million people based on lies. The Gulf of Tonkin incident never happened the way it was reported. See if you can add this up, Hitlery. You're selling the same lies that they were selling back then. With communist aggression and falling dominoes throughout Asia. And before you know it, they're going to be falling on the coast of California. Or I should say, California. See if you can add this up, Hitlery. The Afghan War, the longest war in American history. Could you read the news going on? How the Taliban is back in Kabul and destabilizing the whole place because of the puppet government that you and the other neocons propped up over there? Oh, you hate the Taliban, don't you? Oh, yeah, you remember Jimmy Carter? Yeah, that other wonderful liberal? Yeah, that supported the Mujahideen to help overthrow the government that Russia supported in Afghanistan? That became the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Yeah. Oh, yeah, when bin Laden was our guy, you forgot that. You can't add very well, Hitlery. Or is it that maybe you have Alzheimer's disease and are forgetting the facts? Or just brainwashing them out? How about the Iraq War? Oh, yeah, NATO was involved in that, too, like Afghanistan. Great job. You guys can't win. Show me victory rather than your arrogant BS. Show me victory. I only want to see facts. But you're having trouble adding them up, huh? Back on boots on the ground in Iraq. Lovely job in Syria. Beautiful job in Libya. And now you're talking about the power in NATO to fight the Russians? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Russia will bend right over. They's going to be shaking in their boots when Uncle Sam comes marching in. Let's get this straight. Go back to Napoleon's march into Russia. Leaves the Poland border. 423,000 men. Comes
back. The Saudi Arabian government.
Yep. One losing element after another. One disastrous war venture after another. And these arrogant people, make these statements and no one challenges them. Not in the prostitute media, because, hey, prostitutes are paid to put out. And they put out what their John wants them to put out. Their Washington John and the corporate John. So there you go. We see what's going on. And there's no end in sight. Hey, remember they prostitutes? Remember, go back to the first Gulf War. And they had that woman there saying how Iraqi soldiers were going into hospitals and bayoneting babies in incubators. Remember that one? Oh, yeah. And the lie was told by a person who was paid for by one of the biggest PR firms in the United States. Total lie. But boy, did the prostitutes pump it, and the public bought it. Hey, you remember this? That Gaddafi, he was feeding his troops Viagra. Yeah. I wonder if he bought it on sale so they could rape the women when they went into those countries, those other cities where they were defiant against his rule. People actually believe that. Viagra. Yep. One lie after another. And now, of course, we have Trump in there, and he's going to make the military bigger than everybody else, and they'll be afraid of us, and they ain't going to mess with us. He actually talks like that. They're not going to mess with us. All these little people that are no fighters talk tough. Men that fight don't talk like that. Because anybody that's a fighter knows that anything can happen at any time. I don't care how good you are. So here we are, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. The election is over. Of course, there's always wild cards. You never know. You never know. But as the game is being played now, Sanders, we believe, is going to be chosen as vice president. Clinton as the presidential candidate, and Trump ain't going to win. Not with the negative rating he has in general and the 73% negative rating he has among women. I began my career at a graduate school running political campaigns in Westchester County, the richest county in the states at the time, right north of New York City. Places like Bronxville and Scarsdale and Hartsdale. And from there, I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. Designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology and taught it at St. John's University. I know, and without going on to my other career as chief government affairs specialist for the chemical industry, living between D.C. and Chicago in the 70s, I know how these things work. The Clinton campaign is busy now digging up every piece of dirt that Trump has dug for himself over the years. They have major groups doing it. I'm not making this up. It's a fact. Even been reported. They're holding back all this information until the election heats up. And the election heat does not turn on to hot until after Labor Day. That's when people will tune in the most. Because the conventions happen in the summer, and it's summertime, and the living is easy. A lot of people are tuned out of the news. Then, after Labor Day, in September, they start tuning back in. And that's when the dirt's going to come out about Trump. Again, when you just look at the numbers and add up the facts, as we've reported now at Trends in the News and now at Trends Journal, here we are a year ago in the Trends Journal, the spring edition 2015. If the election were held today, we forecast Clinton as the winner on issues of gay rights, women's rights, and abortion. Cruz, Paul, Rubio, Carson, Fiorina, and Huckabee will find weak support among a sizable portion of women voters. Now remember, this is 2 months before the real reality show champion, Donald Trump, threw his hat into the ring. We go on to say, with all the candidates, including Clinton, on the same war page, and none presenting strong and unique economic policies to truly create jobs and increase wages, what separates Clinton from the guys is the girls. Quote, Chelsea Clinton, female president will make a substantial difference. USA Today, April 10th, 2015. We go on to write. In the 2008 presidential election, 70.4 million women cast ballots versus 60.7 million men. In the 2012 race, Obama won the two-party vote among female voters by 12%, 56% to 44%. All right, now we're going to fast forward to 2016. Hillary will win a much greater percentage, probably in the 65 percentile, if not more, of the women vote. And just on pure numbers that more women vote than men, it's a Clinton-Sanders White House. So, here we are. Moving on to some other news. Let's take a look at the economy. And what's going on? Well, you know, those earning reports came out. And they're not so good. But why should we talk about earning reports? Let's just talk about hype and why we should invest in the market. Markets are going nowhere other than up as long as money stays cheap. I was wrong. I believed that the markets would go down, because I had no idea that the effects of quantitative easing, zero interest rate, and negative interest rate policy would juice only the equity markets. I knew it would have no effect on the general economy, but I did not have the knowledge and understanding, because it had never been done before, to see how it would boost equities. And you look at why the markets are going up. As I said, the price-earnings ratios of the S&P 500 are way out of line. They're much too high. And $60 billion a month goes into the Dow and NASDAQ is in stock buybacks, because the big companies are buying or borrowing money for nothing. Nothing. And it's the same thing around the world. So when they're borrowing money for nothing and buying back their stocks, they're juicing the equity price of that stock falsely because earnings are down. And when you look at the merger and acquisition activity, and it's in every field, by the way, whether it's in retail, fashion, the five companies basically own the fashion business these days. And, you know, fashion no longer has the jolt it used to have in directing society because they're bottom line focused. And fashion used to be on trend for finding new ways and new looks. But again, you know, they declined dramatically. But the concentration of wealth is in the hands of a few. So the equity market boom, because of mergers and acquisitions and stock buybacks, is what's fueling the stock markets around the world. So, yeah, you know, stocks, you're going to see them where they are, moving where they are, in the range that they are, in the absence of some real truth going on and a real crisis being unfolded. Because right now the Ponzi scheme keeps going, and it's not only in the United States. You just go back to look what happened in China over the weekend. We saw that their GDP increased, but it was up by about 6.7%. And of course, just go back a year ago, and China kept demanding to the media that don't worry about it. We're going to be over 7% growth. But of course, that didn't happen, but it's downplayed. And now it's under 6. So then you look at why China's growth happened. Again, we look at prices in many fields beyond the stock markets. And when you look at prices of commodities, you know, they're way down there. Even though, for example, oil prices are moving up a bit, it's still down some 60% from their June 2014 highs. So you read into really what's going on in China, and it's no different what they're doing in Europe with their negative interest rates and increasing their quantitative easing. That means buying back government bonds and now corporate bonds from 60 billion euros a month to 80 billion. They're just artificially juicing the economy. Same thing in Russia, in China. So here's the deal. I mentioned how commodity prices are sinking. So now the new data is coming out from China, and they're saying how good it is that there's been a reversal in exports, because exports were down, you know, like 20%. And by the way, the export numbers just came out of Korea, for example, South Korea. They're down like 15% because they're not selling stuff to China. They're not selling to Japan. Everybody's export numbers are down. Trade export, global trade export is down between 12 to 14% already this year. So going back to seeing why China's exports numbers went up, their steel exports surged by 30%. Now, what does that mean? There's a glut of steel on the markets. You're looking at countries like Australia, where they're laying off some 10,000 people in the steel industry. In the United States, in the UK, you saw the big story in the UK, where they're closing down a steel plant over there, some 7,000 to 10,000 people being laid off. There's too much supply. So now you go back to China, they just increased their steel exports by 30% because they have all this massive overcapacity. So they're driving down the prices by dumping their stuff on the markets. And then you look at all of the money that the People's Bank of China is pushing into the economy to keep it alive. So when are these markets going to crash? They should have crashed already. It's a rigged game. And as long as the riggers are in charge, it's going to keep going. You remember, you know, we have a, if you go to YouTube, we posted a trends in the news. We do them four times a week. Weekdays, every weekday night. But we post one on YouTube once or twice a week. If you go to the Gerald Celente or the Trends Journal channel on YouTube, you'll see a picture of a great piece of artwork by Anthony Frieda, the famous Anthony Frieda, really a cutting-edge guy, a great illustrator, of Jesus Christ, you know, chasing the money changers out of the temple. But the front of the money changers' names, and they're dressed in suits, is the Goldman Sachs gang, the Merrill Lynch mob, you know, the J.P. Morgan Chase syndicate, and on and on. So nothing has really changed. As a matter of fact, it's a good trends in the news to consider listening to, because it gives you a lot of information about what's going on in the economy and where we're going. And I mention oil prices and where they're going. Well, you know, they're going up because the game is rigged. It's trading in the commodities markets. It has nothing to do with the fundamentals of the economy. Again, go back to last beginning of the week. All last week, they were talking about that great OPEC meeting where they were going to freeze production. So what happens? They meet on Sunday and they say, we're not going to freeze production because Iran will not agree to it, because Iran has made it very clear they're going to increase productions now that the sanctions have been lifted. The Asian markets open up on Monday, and oil prices drop 7%. By the time the New York markets open up, guess what? Oil's back up. Oil's back up to where it was before the OPEC meeting. How can this be? Oh, they had an oil workers' strike in Kuwait. And Kuwait cut half its oil output. Yeah, but that was only for 3 days. There's no reason for oil prices to be going up. Except, of course, if the markets are rigged. And that's what we have. Rigged market. The fundamentals no longer count. You're seeing a global slowdown. And the other reason, by the way, very interesting, as to why China is making it to some extent in the other emerging markets, are because the United States backtracked, the Federal Reserve did, on its end of year back in December of 2015, signaled to the equity markets that they were going to raise interest rates 4 times in 2016. And that means the dollar is still very cheap. And that means with the dollar staying low, there's no pressure on the other currencies. Because when the dollar goes higher, the pressure on the other currencies, they move down. So now we've actually seen a reversal in the value of the yuan. In dollar terms, exports rose because the currency, in export terms, their exports rose, as I mentioned, because of steel, almost 12%, 11.5%. But the currency has gained nearly 2% in the last 2 months. So the value of the yuan has gone up, because the value of the dollar is weakening because of a backtrack on the pledge by the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates. And this is what's keeping the emerging markets afloat too, because they're deep in debt. The stronger the dollar goes, they have to pay back their debt in dollars. And if their currency declines, then they have to pay it back with more money, and they're already in trouble. So we're in a holding pattern on the economy. And that's the best that I can possibly look at it in terms of the fundamentals. It's in a holding pattern because you're looking at industrial production down, retail sales down, one sector after another. Yeah, housing's boosting a little bit, and mostly at the high end, but then you look at sales in Miami, New York, San Francisco, London, the high end is flattened and to down. And particularly in places like Miami, we have a lot of South American cash coming in, and it ain't flooding in anymore. Venezuela is ready to explode, as is Brazil. And with these low commodity prices, pressure from Colombia to Bolivia to Chile, so you don't see a lot of buying going on anymore in those once hot markets. So all it's going to do is to take a crisis to make this Ponzi scheme finally die. And gold, by the way, is still holding well at $1,255. And you've heard me say this many times before, and I will keep repeating it. I do not give financial advice, but we've been very accurate with our trend forecasts in gold. You go look at our track record in trendsresearch.com, go to the forecast page, and there it is. And we picked the beginning of the gold bull run, called every up and down on it. Gold needs to maintain itself strong over this 1255 mark to 1280, 1290, and move toward 1400. We believe once gold breaks over 1400, it's going to be a quick spike to the $2,000 range. Because all I've been talking about before is cheap money. They've devalued their currencies with negative interest rates, zero interest rate policy, and ultra-low interest rates. This has never been done before in history. In history. There's nothing to back up their dough, and they're deep in debt. The debt-to-GDP ratios in China, Japan, Italy are off the charts. In America, it's well over 100%. Again, go back and put the fundamentals of the economy into line to what they are. We're talking about oil prices at $44 a barrel right now for crude. Take a look at Saudi Arabia. Yeah, the murderers, the beheaders in chief that started that Yemen war, that are slaughtering all those innocent people that the United States is behind. Oh, and that liberal cat up there in Canada. Yeah, Trudeau. Yeah, another fraud. Liberal. Again, Orwell loves these words, man, because they cannot be more empty. Here's the deal. Canada's liberal government under Trudeau, another guy, man, who'd be a nobody from nowhere if his old man wasn't the Trudeau before him that ran the show. Canada's liberal government, yeah, they just finalized a $15 billion Saudi Arabian deal for arms to go slaughter people, as did Obama and Clinton, much more than that. And again, hey, if you arm the murderers with the arms and you know they're going to kill people with them, are you an accessory to the crime? Mr. and Mrs. Slime that are doing it? Hey, not me. No. Maybe somebody else. We could give murderers weapons and get away with it. Because we are the elite in a neo-feudal society. So now Saudi Arabia, for example, just came out yesterday and they're borrowing $10 billion as their oil prices go down and the slump drains their reserves. And this is their first debt-raising venture since 1991. When will Ponzi die? It's not only, it's all over. Saudi Arabia needs oil at $100 a barrel to break even. And it's now in the 40 range. So, here we are with the economy. And as I said, in going back to the elections, just to sum things up, only direct democracy to me is the solution. We do not have a party system that represents the people. And the people know it. I mean, you look at the data. Associated Press GFK poll finds most Americans, 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10. That's like 80%, right? Say they're dissatisfied or angry with the way the federal government is working. Yeah, because they're tired of getting shafted by a bunch of arrogant people called senators and congressmen that are screwing them every day and the bureaucrats that carry out the orders. 80% direct democracy. You want to go to war in Syria? Bernie, Obama, Trump and Clinton, and all the rest? Guess what? Everything you've done has been a failure. Let us vote. Because after all, we pay for the war with our money and our lives. As you little clowns sit home and talk tough and never send your kids. Hey, Trump, you going to send your boys to go fight ISIS? Is you going to melt them around them, melt ISIS out around the world? You going to put Ivanka, whatever her name is, on the front lines? Hey, Chelsea, sign up. You shoot your mouth off enough, like your old man, go lead the charge. How come you never went in the military? How come you're always saying that's the greatest sacrifice a person could give is to die for your country in wars started by immoral men and women? Hypocrites, every one of you. Direct democracy. Let the people vote. Want to build a defense budget? Let the people vote. Want to kill EPA? Let the people vote. You want to clean up toxic waste? Let the people vote. You want to get rid of GMOs? Hey, Bernie, how come you're not talking about that one, huh? Hey, all you liberals, you love them GMOs, don't you? Yeah, Slick Willie Clinton gave you them. Nah, but you like bovine growth hormones better than that. Yeah, he shoves them into you too. Let the people vote. Direct democracy. And speaking about letting the people vote, seeing the future, and how to avoid the dangers and seek the opportunities, want to let you know that very shortly, and you better reserve your place now because seating is limited. Yep. Big conference being held here up in Colonial Kingston on July 22nd, 23rd at the magnificent, historic 1774 Academy. Yep, the place where people like Vanderlyn, the famous Hudson River painter, went to school. It's at one of our buildings here in Colonial Kingston on the most historic Four Corners in the United States. The only place where there's a pre-Revolutionary War stone building on each corner. And we have three of them. We are holding a unique conference that's going to help you, whether you own a business or want to get into a new one or start one, whether you want to expand your profession into new areas and reach far beyond where it is now, find the high points and get rid of the low ones, or whether you're considering a career change, we are holding the nation's first on-trendpreneur conference and forecasting session in the United States. Become an on-trendpreneur. Build your existing business, solidify and expand your current profession, find the new opportunities emerging, and look for the trends in the future that the bigs are missing. And boy, are they missing them. I mentioned before, for example, how in the fashion industry, nobody really thinks about this, how five major corporations, multinationals, control the whole joint. All they're interested in the bottom line. They're not free thinkers anymore. They're hooked to dough. I'm saying this because the bigs have to work on thin profit margins. So if there is an opportunity that doesn't meet enough profit opportunity for them, they either miss it or shed it. And you could get it. And you could grow it. Because they, most of the time, don't know it. And that's what this on-trendpreneur conference, seminar, that we're going to be holding in Colonial Kingston on July 22nd and 23rd is going to bring you. Participants are going to learn the trend tracking tools that they need to seize the golden opportunities that the bigs can't see and the other guys are missing. I've been at this since 1980. I would suggest I'm one of the pioneers in the trend forecasting business. You know my books, Trend Tracking, Trends 2000. And over the years, the more I've been in this, the more that I learn, the more I've sharpened my skills, the more I keep growing them. And I'm going to pass these on to attendees at our upcoming on-trendpreneur seminar and conference here in Colonial Kingston. And speaking of books, one of my favorite books, and in fact, I honestly say it's one of the most favorite pieces I've ever written, is my book, What Zizi, Z-I-Z-I, Gave Honey Boy. And Zizi is the Neapolitan dialect for auntie. And she was my aunt, Zids. And it's a true story about love, wisdom, and the soul of America. I mention this because just 2 days ago, Doris Roberts, who played the mother in that long-running, big-time sitcom, Everyone Loves Raymond, also plays my aunt Zizi in the movie Zizi and Honey Boy. So it was a real honor for me to know her. And this was her last dramatic role that she played. It was in the movie that they made about my book, Zizi, What Zizi Gave Honey Boy. And boy, oh boy, did she do a great portrayal of my Aunt Zizi. She gave the role the heart, the warmth, and the feisty wisdom that it needed. And it's going to be released shortly. It's at playing at film festivals, so keep in touch. And she did it with an authenticity that instantly connects to the audience. And I had a great time with her. We went to the Parkside over there in Corona. Goodbye, Rosie, Queen of Corona. And of course, in those days, Corona was before Rosie. It was all Italian. And my cousin, Elizabeth Libertore, was really the driving force behind putting this project together and bringing in Doris Roberts. And they grew up in Corona. So we went to Corona. We took Doris Roberts there. As my cousin Freddie, Elizabeth's husband, was driving, and we were there, all the back streets was going over the Triborough Bridge and on the way to Corona. Doris Roberts says, "What are you, kidnapping me? You can take me over the border?" She was so funny. And we had a great time at the Parkside. It was one of the old-fashioned Italian restaurants over there. And as we get there, and I help her out of the car, and the valet attendant comes up and says, "Oh, my God, I can't believe it's you." And she smiles from ear to ear. And he said, "Oh, Mr. Salenti, I follow your work. I love what you do. Oh, you're really wonderful." So we hit it off right away, her and I. And then, of course, we got into the restaurant. You know, everybody wanted to come and say hello to her. And I said, "Is it okay?" And she said, "Oh, sure." She said, "I'd be worried if they didn't come over and say hello." So it's a great movie, a great time. And it was a time that's most important because it recaptures the values of earlier generations and the role of family and love, morality and integrity that once played such a big part in America, and why it matters to so much of us to return to those values, the values that are shown on progressive radio and the people that care about these things. And so it was a very touching time for me, and may Doris Roberts' soul rest in peace, and how honored I was to spend so much time with her, to be with her, and for her playing the role of my dear and loving Aunt Zizi. May her soul rest in peace. And again, it was a time when the world was a different place, and we want to bring that morality back to America. Thank you very much for tuning in this week. This is Gerald Salenti, Trends This Week. And remember, one man of courage makes a majority. One person of courage, said Andrew Jackson. You're that majority. Figure me a puttana, mamma mia, pensaccio.